A few weeks before my father died, our daughter Emma asked him, "Has wise old grandpa got any words of wisdom for his lovely granddaughter?" And my father paused for a few moments and said, "You've got two ears and one tongue." Quite appropriate, really. Responding too quick without thinking, reflecting, is a greater danger now than it's ever been. I don't know about you, but it's very easy to just fire off a quick email in response to somebody with words that are tinged with anger. I certainly have, and to be honest with you, have those words been any good? Have they helped? Have they made things better? Probably not. I don't know about you, but there's been many occasions when I've said things that I wish I hadn't, or wish I'd said slightly differently. And our second reading was from the letter of James. If you don't realise it, James was a brother of Jesus. And I suspect James was actually no different to what we are. He's made the same mistakes. He obviously didn't have emails and things to write. But in John 7, we read, "But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, 'You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing all these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe him." They're probably being a wee bit sarcastic, to be honest with you. I don't know about if you can remember, but when I was young, there's a very familiar saying, "Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you." Well, we need to be resilient at times, but words do hurt. And sometimes they can put a cloud over someone's life completely. They can make people feel worthless, unloved, unattractive, and they can really stay there for decades. And often it's put out quite unintentionally, without thinking, sometimes by parents, sometimes by teachers. And parents, we need to watch ourselves, because the fact we get older and our children aren't down there, it still happens. I was at a wedding recently, and the father of the bride said, his daughter had to be bright because their elder daughter was very clever. Well, a bit of a backhanded compliment if ever I heard one, but you know, it's also too easy. And unfortunately, young people like some here can be prone to bullying by people sending texts, unkind words, social media, and words do hurt. But sometimes people give out very hollow words without any sincerity, and they can be equally as bad, because they're not meant. People just know that that compliment has got no value to it, that people sometimes will say they'll do things and don't go near it. James's letter is subject to a fair amount of controversy in some quarters, as it appears to advocate that salvation comes through works rather than grace. And to be honest with you, I feel this is a bit unfair criticism. James's letter was written to Gentiles. James's letter was written to Jews, while Paul's letter was written to Gentiles. Although the letter in my Bible is only just over 4 pages long, it contains a real treasure trove of well-known phrases and teaching. I'll just quote you some of them. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Blessed is the man who perseveres, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Tempting is not from God. Every good gift is from above. Not to show favoritism, especially to the rich and important. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Claiming to have faith but no deeds Faith by itself is not itself, it's not accomplished by action, is dead. Difficulties of taming the tongue and comparing it to the tiller of a ship. Two kinds of wisdom, one earthly and unspiritual, and the other from heaven. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Come near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourself before the Lord, not boasting about tomorrow. Don't grumble. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In short, I'm encouraging you to either read it for the first time or to read it again. For me, the principal message of James's letter is that of integrity. And this is a characteristic that we value quite highly. It's unfortunate it seems to be disappearing in so many areas of life. And James gives us a good example in chapter 2. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well and keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. We are being challenged to act and behave in line with our faith. And this is effectively the same point that Jesus is making in the gospel reading. We have a group of Pharisees and some of the religious teachers, and they gather around Jesus. You know, I just get this picture of them being slightly threatening in some ways, slightly to overpower him by their number and presence. And they ask why his disciples were not performing the ceremonial task before eating. And Jesus quotes Isaiah, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Before going on to say, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him, rather what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And Jesus gives a long list of wrongs coming out of the heart, including evil thoughts, greed, malice, deceit, slander, and arrogance. In our reading, James warns that if we do not keep a tight rein on our tongue, we are deceiving ourselves and our faith is worthless. Our tongue is the quickest and most successful thing at showing that we're not loving our neighbours as ourselves. In chapter 3, James points out a large ship in strong winds can be controlled by a small rudder, yet there's nothing able to control the tongue. It being capable of praising God and cursing men, and this should not be the case. So the question really this morning is, how do we stop ourselves reacting badly, reacting wrongly, or in anger, especially when we are tired and someone has touched a raw nerve? James gives us some answers. Be quick to listen. In other words, make sure we have heard correctly what is being said. Many hurts and arguments are from misunderstandings. Words of advice for our imminent married couple. Listen carefully to what's being said. We've all done that, where I think Joy has said something wrong and I've just not heard it correctly. Slow to speak. Giving space to interpret what is being said and how to respond. Now, I found it far better to put a potential email response into a draft box and sleep on it. There's two things, really. It stops me running through my head during the night what I might say. Have you done that? You're laid in bed thinking, "God, what do I say here?" You know, and it goes round and round and round. But in the morning, I normally find that I delete the message because I've seen it a different way around. But if you can't get to that stage, consult a trusted friend or simply follow the advice that I have been given. Pray for the person. You won't have damaged a relationship. And who knows? They may apologise. We need to get rid of anything that makes us angry. It is not the life that God desires for us. Pray about it, say sorry to God, and if it still recurs, perhaps come forward one morning for some prayer ministry. Sometimes there's anger. It's because on deep hurts from our past, perhaps from even childhood, where those hurts have just come to the surface again, perhaps those losses. James also reminds us as what we have. Every good gift is from above, coming from the Father, who gave us a birth through the word of truth to be kind of first fruits. We are told to humbly accept the word planted in us. It's really a realization that we have a relationship with God and Jesus, and this is despite all the mistakes we've made, all the things we should have done. Jesus still loves us, and he wants us to love others. Perhaps then we'll have the wisdom that James describes in chapter 3 that comes from heaven. It's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and severe and sincere. So if our words and actions are from the heart, are also caring, supportive, encouraging, kind, faithful, and we are humble before God, and we will loyally do what we promise, perhaps then we can look at ourselves in the mirror and have a degree of confidence that the words on our tin are true. I'd like to close with a short prayer.